Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the On Tap Podcast. We have today returning guest, Deca Al, the man, the myth, the legend himself, the at easily top three most requested guest to come and do another episode of the podcast. Al, what's
Thanks,
going
guys.
On, man? How have you been?
Oh, I've been all right, trying to keep it kicking, trying to keep my new things going.
Yeah, dude, you're probably the busiest guy that I've ever met in my entire life.
Oh, yeah. I always am doing something. If I'm awake, I'm working. If you want to work for yourself, you want to, I don't want to do 9 to 5 anymore. Get ready for 23/7. You might be up at 2 a.m. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to get what you have to get done when it's time to get it done, or you ain't going to eat.
I love it. I love it. You always like hit me up. Hey, I got this new thing cooking. I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, dude, it's like 3 a.m.
Dude, that's got to mean so much coming from Cody, because Cody works just about as hard as anyone that I know. Cody's like a fucking, at least a, what do you say, 18-8 guy, you know?
Maybe.
Basically,
I
mean,
don't know.
You basically got to create another day.
Depends on the day.
How busy this guy is.
I'm nowhere close to Al level. Let's
He's
just put
a veg guy.
Yeah.
He's 18-6. He gets a little break. I'm
23. We take Sundays off.
Sometimes
exactly.
I pass out. But.
Yeah, sometimes I got to indulge in Al's products. Obviously, I got to have a couple hours on the off for that. Al, we really wanted to get you back on because this new venture that you've got yourself into, this treasure hunt. Explain to me what exactly this is.
Okay, so what ended up happening is I got on a site called Treasure or Scavenger Hunt, and I ended up posting some stuff, and I made the admin feel some type of way because I sell a drink, they sell a drink, and there's issues with it not going live, so I tried to do two drops in the same day. I think admin didn't like me on there because I'm posting $600-$700 worth of product, and they're posting 2 grams or a half ounce in a little
bowl.
So now
you say these scavenger hunts, basically the whole premise of the thing is that you or all these other pages will go and put a drop of a bunch of THC products.
Also, I'd like to air it out a little bit. I think let's just get it out in the open. You're saying that they were probably a little bit intimidated because you're doing a way better job than they are. Oh, yeah.
You were balling out.
Okay. I made them feel some type of way.
Hell
same
yeah.
thing we did on the mountain in California. We came in hard, and we got an accent, so get them out of here.
Fucking right, brother.
Whatever, we're here to stay.
Who are
it
these
matter
Canadian motherfuckers, dude?
Yeah, so basically the whole premise of the treasure hunt is you post a little riddle of where something is located and a photo of where it's at, and then it's a bag of goodies. Like, what is a normal drop?
So a normal drop for my treasure hunt versus 2 grams and a half-eaten brownie that's been licked by God knows who. you're searching and you're finding $600-$800 drop. Sam here found his own drop. He could tell
yes,
you
sir.
What the feeling is like to come out of, I don't have any smoke or something. And then you find that. Oh, man, the boys are eating, he said. I love that.
I would love to step in here. So, yes, I had found out about these drops from our beloved Bean Boy. And I signed up to the page, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm getting one of these. And that night, he did a Pine City drop, and I missed it. So the next day, it's Saturday, I don't got shit going on. I'm like, I'm going to sit on my phone, and I'm going to wait, because he gives a little heads up, like, Hinkley or Mora coming soon. So he puts up, I'm at my parents' house, he puts up Hinkley in 20 minutes. I immediately jump in my truck, I haul ass, and I'm just sitting there waiting. I see, so when he does the drop, he takes, there's a little riddle, there's a couple pictures that gives you an idea of where you're at. I was like, boom, McDonald's. I know my way around a McDonald's.
Hell yeah.
I haul ass to McDonald's. There's a bag in the tree. And when I ran up to there, I've never won shit. I've done horrible in raffles my entire life. I don't win. And that feeling I had walking up and opening up that bag, there was a very nice lady to greet me. She congratulated me. There was
Joanne.
Diamonds in there. There was multiple carts. There was multiple edibles. There's multiple drinks. There's a pack of joints. It was like Christmas for a stoner. I immediately went home. I called all my closest stoner friends. They all came over and we just let her rip. It was one of the best stoner weekends of my life.
What
Dude,
is and the retail value on each of these drops?
I normally mark them at like a street level value. So about $700 to $800. It's
Damn.
Not uncommon to be just around $1,000. The Mora drop was just under $900, and then
Damn.
I did a second place that was over $200. So a little over $1,000 in that one drop. No one else is keeping up with that.
I can't even find
out. Here's the biggest
that
thing
would break me.
That I know a lot of people are thinking: is this legal?
100% legal. I don't drop anything that isn't legal. Hennepin County, Ramsey County, you guys are the only ones I'm doing any mushy drops at, because those are decriminalized down there, if no one knows.
I didn't know that.
Hennepin County, within the last year or so, decriminalized. They don't care if it's peyote, mescaline, DMT. They don't care. Mushroom.
I just recently got into mushrooms, so yeah. That's great to hear.
Good for microdosing, good for depression. You smoke cigarettes or you have a bad habit, you want to kick that habit, fucking go for a macro dose. Do a 3.5 gram of freeze dry. Oh my God. See ya. You're going to come out of it a saint. You're never going to gamble again.
You know, I think the thing that I love the most about this is, like, everyone as a kid wanted to win a scavenger hunt more than anything. Like, I mean, it really brings you back into the 10-year-old mindset of, I get to fucking be the winner. And it almost makes you feel like you have a skill. Maybe maybe you don't if you sit at the fucking Hinckley movie theater and you know it's 4 minutes away.
Hey, but that was skill.
It makes you feel like, fuck yeah, dude, I'm better than everyone for just that split second. And I think that's what really gets me going about it.
Does anyone remember the medallion hunt?
Yes, Saint we were just Paul. Talking about
do
that
they
earlier.
Still do that? That's what's up. That's what first thing that went through my head. Fuck scavenger. I don't have any time to be a damn cockroach and eating like a bald eagle on the side of the road trying to get fucking ran over and getting a disease being licked down with my half-eaten brownie. No, fuck that shit, dude. My shit is labeled, has, you know, exactly what's in it, what concentrate is used, how many milligrams is used. And I get a lot of questions. Is this THCA? Is this? Like, all of my Streetline products are still Streetline products. I didn't start making it out of fucking hemp yesterday to get it on this treasure hunt. Everything's handed out for free. If you like anything, you check out DecaMN for the menu. First thing up there, right next to the next topic, that should be, if you purchase marijuana in Minnesota, when the store's open in 11 months, they're going to take your license away to have your weapon.
Yeah, well, I see you post about that all the time on Facebook. What's the deal with that?
Unless you want to protect yourself with anything other than a fucking stick, you better not buy marijuana in Minnesota. They're creating a new slave category where they're going to take your weapons away because you bought marijuana. You can go and buy 1,000 beers and they're going to say, see you, Johnny. Where you go buy one joint, you're losing your gun right. That's
so
not
how is
right.
It, how is it actually written? You don't. I mean, obviously, you don't go to a dispensary and then they just come and take your guns. Is
no,
this like something that opens it up for them
there
to be able
to? There goes your concealed carry. They already know what you have. Don't you have your weapon registered? Everyone wants to be law-abiding. Dude. Fuck them. Don't tell them where your goddamn weapon is, because when it comes down to it, you need to use the fucking thing.
Fucking right.
Not have it taken from you.
I love it, dude. And coming from a guy who does drink beer and does not smoke weed, I'm way more fucking scared of a guy who had 30 beers and decides to pull the fucking 12 gauge out.
Yeah, exactly.
And a stoner who's like fucking playing with his 9mm in his fucking house. Like, I'm way more scared of that dude who is drunk and fucking reckless than a stoner who's just like, look at how fucking cool this thing looks.
So you think I can smoke out of this?
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever is passing that law, though, is thinking with a different type of reefer madness brain, and they've been brainwashed for so long. Same with, that's why our currency is even worth a damn, because we're all fucking brainwashed. You should barter, you should trade every time you possibly can. Walmart's bastard ass has to get cash. You want to spend $1,000 every week? That's fine. But everywhere you could barter in your life, I suggest doing it, because when it comes down to it and shit hits the fan, Walmart ain't going to have shit for you.
Your money ain't going to be worth
a
dime.
Guy.
You ever thought about having some livestock?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe train some cows or something?
We've had a different thing. We had pig, and we had a cow, and we had all kinds of other sheep and animals that we take care of, but it just comes to be more of a labor of love than and saving any money or making any money kind of thing, you know? Now you know where your animals was.
See, I'm a wild man, dude. When shit hits the fan, I don't give a fuck if I have a cow. I'm going to get somebody who does have a cow. It's kill or be killed at that point, and if you have the fucking cow, you're in more danger than me.
Yeah.
So how
everyone
is this,
wants the fucking cow, dude?
How is this new rule written that you're talking about? Is it they have the ability to at any point come and take your firearms, or like what's
I don't
the,
know
what's
how
the actual
execute.
Legitness?
I don't know how they'll execute. That would be something for Rachel or a really good lawyer to explain to us. But
I like that.
I know that if you use your ID and they scan it, just like you go scan alcohol.
Yep. You're in a database of some sort.
Don't think that they don't know what you bought, when you bought, so that it's just kind of like them watching you more and more. But now, why do they care that you bought 2 ounces of marijuana every fucking day from the same place? Maybe you smoke, maybe you're stockpiling, maybe, like me, you freeze dry a lot of shit. You want your shit to stay good and fucking look good in 30 fucking years? Grab a freeze dryer.
Fuck yeah, baby.
Okay.
Freeze dry your freaking meat or your pineapple. Or
I will say, in your drop, you gave in the drop, it had some non-THC freeze-dried Skittles, and I was immediately looking up freeze dryers. I was these are the best Skittles I've ever had in my whole life.
That's literally what got me. Someone gave me a free freeze-dry Skittle, one single one. I put that baby in my mouth, and I never want a regular Skittle the rest of my life. I paid it. I got the extra large. I can rock a lot of freeze-dry Skittles now.
Absolutely life-changing, dude. We need like a walk-in freeze-dryer where we can just freeze-dry everything.
They do make big ones. I know we're working on the cottage license, so that we'll be able to like legitly, you know, slap label and get taken care of. And we got kinds of nerd clusters and
fucking
trolley
nerd
worms and M&Ms with caramel that blew up.
I had a freeze-dried Spree. You know, the candy, the Sprees?
Oh, that was good. Really good, delicious. Huh?
You had me at Nerd Cluster, bro. You had me at Nerd Cluster. That's the fucking best candy there is right now. And
see,
you're a liar if you say any different.
Yeah.
Okay, so part of it, is, what I'm reading here, is some counties in Minnesota will not issue gun permits if you've had a prior possession charge. Is their excuse is they're following a federal law and not state law. So this includes any alcohol-related offenses as well. And if you have a gun permit and found with marijuana in your possession, you can be charged with a drug user in possession of a firearm, which is a federal crime and a felony.
Holy I got charged fuck. With a felony. It was a 5-year mandatory minimum sentence. Rachel Goldberger, I appreciate every inch you've ever done for me, but she got me out of that sentence.
That's your lawyer?
Yeah, because I had a, upsale. Anyone that needs a criminal defense lawyer, Rachel Goldberger, I'm telling you.
Shout out Rach.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get her contact just in case.
Oh, yeah. Have her on standby. She's the best out there. But, you know, even her herself will tell you I'm the best weed dealer she's ever met. So she's been in defense lawyer for a long time, too, so that says a lot. But I'm just marijuana, you know? They don't bust me, and I got cocaine and meth and fentanyl and all this fucked up shit at my fucking house. It's marijuana. Stop fucking coming to my house.
Yeah, she ain't no Sandy County narc.
Oh, hell
she's
no.
She's real shit.
Yeah, yep, she's good. Downtown Minneapolis, she's always been good. She's represented a lot of my higher-end people that I've worked with over the time. So, Rachel, what's up?
So, I want to talk about the drops a little bit. Have you, so when you first started the page, you obviously had zero people on the page. And I joined less than a week ago, you were at about 300 and you said now you're at 400.
Yeah, 402 as of right now. I just posted who's going to be 420 and we're going to have to find a way to celebrate that, like personally drive some out to you or meet you. I just want to support my people that are supporting me because that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. I got extra products and they're quality products and I want people to get out there and see them. What's better than, I think Wrigley handed out a piece of gum to every 2-year-old throughout the country. I'm kind of doing the same premise, but, you know, not for 2-year-old.
For every 22-year-old, we want a joint.
Drop the socials for all the stoners right now so they can go add that shit.
Deca MN Treasure Hunts, and then Deca MN for menu, and then you could be my friend at Deca Al. I'll accept everyone.
So this is
everyone
specifically a Facebook group, Deca MN Treasure Hunts.
Yep.
So you got to join the Facebook page in order to be in on the treasure hunts, on the drops, on the riddles that come along with it in order to figure out where it is at.
See what's happening.
You do make it pretty easy for most people.
It's cold still.
But I'm excited to see when it has to start getting more elaborate because then you can get real creative.
We got all kinds of ideas.
I'm telling you guys.
Can't wait for it.
That live hype.
I'm going to sit here and I'm going to vouch for Al over and over again. This product is fucking amazing. I had one of the best stoner weekends of my life. I still have hundreds of dollars worth of product. And I'll tell you what, Al, I'm a ride or die. After On Dab in the Sticks, one of my buddies had one of your stickers, the exact sticker you have on your label there. And he slapped it on my mailbox, and it has been on there since October. Yeah. That we just let that shit ride, dude. Anyone that comes by, they know Deca.
That's
the
post
baby.
Lady. She had it.
She knows.
Like, I remember the first time driving by, I'm like driving up to the house, I'm like, what the fuck? Is that a weed symbol? And I get a little closer, I'm like, it's Deca Alva letter rip.
Oh, sweet. Hell yeah. That's funny. We found a, from my truffle line, for my lit candy, someone drives through the drive-thru at the taco place in Cambridge and shows me a sticker stuck on the drive-thru window. I'm like, that's interesting. That's a good upsale. But I'm like, someone should probably take that down. It was 2 years ago. You
got to give us like 200 stickers, dude. I'll stick them on fucking every gas pump I go to. Yeah. I'll stick them on my work truck, dude. I don't give a fuck.
Tailor them.
You almost got to get a Deca MN Treasure Hunts sticker.
Yeah, yep. I'm working on
a QR
on
code
it.
That
I'm
we can just go it. Right to the Facebook page.
Oh, really? QR code's genius.
I might need help
yeah.
with the QR code.
I can make you a QR code that goes right to the Facebook page. And you scan that thing, and it'll go, boom, right on the stickers.
That would be awesome.
That'd be the way to go.
Well, getting at that, like I was talking to you guys earlier, a lot of people don't believe me. I haven't got on the internet. I literally just started learning before the OnTap because I figured, oh, I want to find a way for people to re-find me. I don't want to put on this big party and spend all this money out of my pocket and then never meet anybody about it.
Right.
Yeah, that's the craziest. What did you say, last October?
Yeah, like this October.
This October. Yeah. This just like yeah. a few months ago is the only time you've ever been on the internet?
Yeah, I just
4 months ago.
Fucking A, yeah.
4 months
wild.
Ago is the first time that you've had any social media of any kind.
Yep. Well, I had MySpace, and then you had to be like someone that knew how to like
code.
Yeah, to be so
to put together the website.
MySpace
yeah.
sucked. Like my actual
oh,
yes. yours.
I'm
just saying the platform was genius.
Yes, if you knew how to do it, everyone else's platform was super cool. It looked cool. I'm like, how'd you get the music and colors on there? Mine sucks.
My cursor was a dollar sign when you would click on my page.
Damn.
It was sick. And I had OJ the Juice Man.
See, I'm just surprised people know what I'm talking about when I say MySpace. So I mean, at least I'm in my generation around here. Like, other people are like,
it is pre
my
time,
guys?
But I do know what it is.
Mitch and I are sitting here like, yep, yeah. talk about MySpace. Never
I'm pre
had
MySpace.
It.
I was Facebook was the first one that I had.
One day we'll fill you kids in on this, but MySpace was elite. I mean, it was badass. You could play games. I mean, it was what we wanted Facebook. It is honestly what Facebook should be right now.
Well, I really? Can't believe I get on Facebook and they've literally like beaten everyone's Second Amendment right out of them.
Oh, so fucking
you, you can't like, or is that First Amendment right? First Amendment right. So yeah. you can't like say anything
freedom
really.
Of speech, yeah.
And the first thing I learned is I tried to put these joints on a post and I said, these are on deck. These are 8 different strains in every single joint and this and that, and explained about their exotic pre-roll, whatever. They flagged it right away. Then I put another one on. They flagged me right away. And then they start threatening me, saying, you're going to lose your page. And I'm like, I just started this a week ago. So fuck you. Let's do it. But then there's other people in these weed communities that like kind of like, oh, bro, you got to say
not for sale
or trade. And then NOFT.
If you post anything that's not with the agenda or you don't use the right words for them, it's
any wrong word,
anything,
bong, bowl, or whatever.
You can't say a fucking thing.
Yeah, which is wrong. Well, so that
which is crazy. I love getting in a good Facebook fight every once in a while. And the fact that I can't say
that.
What I want to fucking say, it just drives me crazy.
I could
my
see
comment
you
got
in
flagged because I called some dude a fucking idiot. Like, come on, he is a fucking
harassment.
Idiot, let's be honest,
harassment or bullying.
What is it? Is it Instagram where if you write up a comment that has like hateful words, it'll like give you a warning, like, are you sure you want to send
yeah,
this?
Yeah.
TikTok does that too.
It's
like
yeah,
fucking right,
sure.
I want to send it. But also, it's probably a good thing sometimes because it's like, maybe I said some shit that was a little out of pocket. Now I should go take a second look at this fucker.
When they make you reread it and you're like, yeah.
Well, maybe they're right.
See, I'm going to try to catch up on all the other socials. I'm literally just learning Facebook. So people are like, I went to your Instagram page. There's nothing on it. I'm like, literally, I didn't know how to put anything on there.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know how to use it.
You hit this plus sign. I'm like, really? The big sign in the middle, and then I just add whatever. I'm like, oh my God. But now I have to learn, does Instagram going to block what I say or post or whatever?
Well, it's owned by Facebook, same company. Oh. So.
You got to get on Twitter for sure.
Twitter's where it's at.
Full
is that
porn
X?
On Twitter. Yeah, X now.
See, I support Elon, so I would go on that.
Yeah, you're
but I don't
Tesla
know anything
guy.
About it. I have the app downloaded on my phone. Okay. Don't get me wrong. And the only reason I can work Tesla is because it's smarter than me. You just hit the steering wheel one time and it drives me wherever I said drive me to. So.
Yep.
I'm actually very glad that Tesla got brought up because you did wear your iconic Tesla hat.
Oh, I always got one.
I absolutely love. And I actually need to track down our good buddy Cody because he joined the Tesla gang.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Al. I asked him so many goddamn questions.
You gotta
I'm sure
get
he was
it.
Getting sick of me.
I'm oh, no,
him,
never.
Like, hey, what do you think of this? Like, what's the range? What would you recommend? Whatever. Oh, yeah. But yeah, shout out to Al, actually. He's the one that got me on the Tesla.
Oh, I love Tesla.
Drove down to Chicago, picked up a used one. Dude, I love it.
Hell
yeah. I'd promote. Sweet. If there was any job that I'd go work for someone rather than working for myself, it'd be Elon. So hit me up if you
Elon's,
want.
Elon's definitely watching this right now. So yeah.
Him and Kanye,
say.
Baby.
For sure. Him and Kanye, they're common tuners on this fuck there.
But I make edibles. Weekly. If you want some, I got you.
So Al, last time that we had you on, I think what was most notable about the episode was we talked about your life story. And we ended with what? What did we end on, did you say?
Well, so you told the story about when you got busted, you had to jump down a cliff, then you had to jump down another cliff later, then you finally made it to your car, I believe with your chihuahuas,
yeah.
And you were about to head back to Minnesota, and that's where the story cut.
Yeah, and I'm like covered and shredded. I just look demolished.
Your arm's broken.
You can see the pictures
on there.
Your
legs broken.
Yeah. Yeah, and just rashes. Imagine running through raspberry bush for 3 football fields, and you're the only guy that has enough balls to do it. It's like, okay, cool. Or crawling through it and just shredding my hair. But I got down to Walmart, and there's like homeless everywhere. So I blended in. I smelt like one of them. My clothes looked like one of them. And I didn't. Walmart wouldn't help me set up a phone because I didn't have a zip code to give them. So I looked over at someone like, what's the zip code here? And she said the zip code. So I'm like, just enter Chico zip code and give me a phone. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Boom. I was on after that. So I was able to make a couple phone calls, figure out where I'm going to go get my vehicle. I went and hid at a casino because, you know, that's kind of like a no touch area, you know, no touch bags, whatever. But
I didn't know that.
Well, oh, yeah. They kind of have different laws, and you'd have the res police.
Oh,
come
right, right.
Whatever,
they have their own
sovereign
nation.
Yeah.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah, no. Yeah.
So, so I just hung out there and hid for a while. Then the vehicle was having an axle problem. So I wasn't.
Axle problem?
Yeah. So it was like shaking really bad. Anything over 55. So it's like, yeah, I just got bad luck. But so then I just stayed close by. But I had a buddy, one of my Asian connects down in Sacramento, say, you can come to my house. You can come down here if you can get down here. But I couldn't get down there. And then I ended up having a dude get me to. Reno, and then we spent the night in Reno, and then I made my way to Cheyenne. I was stuck in Cheyenne.
You're
and that's
just
where
going casino to casino, or what?
Well, like in Cheyenne, I was kind of dropped off and just abandoned because dude went his other way, and I could only find so many rides, and I didn't know my dad had been picked up yet at that point, so I ended up getting the phone calls that, yeah, my dad's picked up, so I let my my dad's wife get the money to go and get him out on bail, and she's driving to Lusk, where the prison is in Wyoming, where he just got hit with his 100-pack. And then I knew if I got there right in time that I could be there in time to get my ride home. So my dad didn't, he thinks I'm in California. He doesn't know anything. He just got out of jail. He's pissed off because it's been multiple days that I'm living in the mountain. I can't fucking do anything to get to you or authorize cash or do anything.
And so, you're actually in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Yeah, well, I made it all the way from Cali. So I made it all the way to Cheyenne, and then I ended up making it to Lusk, and then she picked up my dad out of the prison, and I go, you have to stop at this rest stop. And she didn't even know why she's stopping at the rest stop. I'm like, you have to stop at this rest stop. So she stopped at it, and I come walking out of the woods.
Just no a fucking TV way. Moment.
Yeah, literally. If my life could be a movie, I would probably have a lot of views. I just need a happy ending. Get that Model X plaid. Get that nice six-bedroom house. You know, get that.
Hell yeah.
So you come walking out of the woods. They don't even know why they're pulling up to this place.
Yeah, so I have like a laundry basket. My arm's all broken. I got 2 chihuahuas in there and my pillow and a pair of shoes I grabbed. Because when I went back into the property, I want to make this really clear because I wasn't able to remember to say it last time. But later on, California charged me with burglary because I took a pair of shoes out of my property that I owned. Because apparently after they robbed and raided everything, they expected the rest of the property to be theirs. So when
it's property of the state. Yeah. Just because they raided you, it's property of the state.
So they didn't lock anything or have anything locked up. And like we talked about before, the lights were on. I didn't want to turn the lights off, but I did grab a pair of shoes and they charged me later in life with burglary for that. Well, see you in fucking trial, bitch. Burglary for taking my own pair of shoes? Fuck you. You know,
how is that? Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people now that are like, whoa, 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 what is going on? And if you haven't watched Al's first episode, you got to get caught up
on
the story.
Stop right now. Yeah.
Pause it, screenshot it, go back to episode 1.
It is my favorite fucking episode we've ever released.
Literally, I've never watched a podcast other than the one that I sponsored originally, and I'm like, oh, if I came on there, I bet you it'd be so different tailored or whatever. So then when I did get to do a podcast, and then I watched it, I'm literally watching and I'm feeling like I'm like an outside person. I watch it, I get in the first like minute, I can't turn it off. I have to watch the entire rest of the episode. It's just addicting to watch, but it's just like, it's a real true story.
Dude, so I'm like absolutely honored to be on here for the second half of the story because I wasn't on here the first time you were here. And it's like, I've watched it. I was saying before we shot this right now, I've watched that episode like 3-4 times because there's so much shit that like this.
Just
happens.
a process.
This, boom, boom. It's just awesome.
Okay, so you're at this rest stop. They pick you up.
Yeah, I come out and he's like, what the fuck? Like, you tell they see a ghost. You know, my arm's all broken. I got my dogs. Like, the only thing that was important to me in my life, I didn't have kids at the time. I just got my dogs, you know? So I made sure I saved the dogs. They did nothing wrong. Why the fuck are you terrorizing my goddamn dog? Anyway, so I got them out of there, and I went and met him, and, you know, they used the bathroom when we got on the road, and first thing he said to me is, why are you here? How did you get here? Where's your car? What the fuck happened? You know? So, like, the whole way from Lusk to...
Now, where is Lusk?
Lusk is, like...
In what state?
It's in Wyoming.
Okay.
So, let's say...
And who are these people that picked you up?
Oh, my dad's wife. And I actually paid for them to go get married.
She was in Lusk?
She picked up his dad from jail.
She's in Cambridge, okay, Minnesota. Yeah,
okay.
So she had to go drive to go pick up my dad.
Oh, damn.
And I authorized for her to get cash, hence the last episode. But yeah. I authorized her to get cash to go and get him. So all she knows is dad's
busted.
Stop
at this rest stop.
She doesn't even know it's 100 some fucking pounds. She just knows that dad's busted and he needs fucking bail and where he's at. And my dad has no fucking patience. My dad expects you to fly out of there in 30 seconds. And it's not like that. Like every other person that helped drove that got hit, and I don't want to say names, but every single person you get hit, you can only get out so fast. But they did get out 3 days quicker than my dad because I'm not broken in the woods, you know what yeah. I'm saying? So different story. So I explained that all to him, and then I'm driving back with my wrist all broken. I'm trying to like steer while I'm gear shifting.
Oh, she made you hop in the driver's seat even?
She has to go drive in the morning. So does a job in the morning. And if she ain't there, she gets in trouble. And now she's not even trying to be in this fucking world. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm so immersed in this world. When I talk about people coming in, oh, there's the flower game is killed and this and that. And everyone in the game and everyone and their mom has a connect. That's because everyone's getting into it. Everyone, it's cool to be, you know, you're not the scum of the earth now. Now everyone, you know, wants to talk to you. They want a piece of my time. They want to know what I know. I can't teach everyone everything, but
you go from being the villain to being the fucking guy that everyone wants to be.
Yeah, literally like everyone wants that, to talk to you. My buddy, I'm still trying to make time that lines up with him to be here because he's doing real estate moves and all kinds of other stuff because he's doing all the legal side of everything. So we'll have all the legal aspects, but there's stuff that we've been asked by like higher up people not to say because we don't want to offend anybody that's waiting for their cannabis license and all that shit. So it's like, whatever. We're just saying low key right now, but eventually we got warehouses coming, we got stores coming, we got all kinds of shit, but I'm trying to stay in the streets. I'm trying to take care of people that have been in the streets, that have been supporting me, supporting my family, people like Sam that got on the treasure hunts, went and found it. He didn't know it was going to be in Hinckley. Like, I got drops coming in Faribault within the next 10 days. I got drops I'm trying to work on in St. Cloud, drops I'm trying to work on in Duluth. So I'm like, I'm trying to get around there to different areas, but I'm only one guy. Mm-hmm. Yep. And as I formulate a team and a crew of people, you'll see these products coming out more and more. I'm done with the stores making false orders that I spend $9,800 to get ready. They don't come through on. That's more of a burn than the guys on the street. Like, fuck that shit, you know?
So when you're doing the drops, do you have someone like waiting there to make sure that like no, like a kid isn't getting this bag or whatever?
So I need to get on there because I'm so new to the internet. There's like rules and different things you can set up for etiquette on your site and whatever, but I need to set up the rules officially. But I think most people do know. So and only people doing a drop are like my people right now. I'm trying to get other people that have enough product that they want to go drop $200 or $400 or $1,000 of their own product to put out in their area because they're in Battle Lake or they're in whatever state or whatever city, you know. And speaking of that, other states, I'm trying to get this to take off in Wisconsin. You know, you can gift out there. I'm trying to go to Illinois, trying to get out to Colorado, anywhere, any state that wants to pick up and use my site and make drops in their area. There's plenty of bosses out in the country. Why the hell am I the only one? I just, you know, I'm 3 weeks old tonight, so 400 people in 3 weeks, I think isn't too bad, and just keep building up people.
Yeah, from pretty much just word of mouth, I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's blowing up for sure. Yeah, that, I mean, that's by people saying, hey, this is happening, 403
yeah,
weeks
go check
is
this thing
crazy.
Out. Yeah, because you don't have any other social media following. Like, you don't have anyone
have no,
promoting this.
I have, like, no in my brain of what to expect and what to think. Is 400 a lot? Is 400 nothing? Am I doing jack shit? But it's like, the scavenger hunt had, like, multiple thousand, again, like 2,000 people in the same 2 weeks where I did $1,500 a drop on their site, and then they banned me. He literally came onto my site, talked shit because he's like, not a face-to-face guy. He's like, clickety-clackety, I'm toughity.
Keyboard warriors. Yeah. Us modern men call that the keyboard warrior. I know you're new to the internet.
Yeah.
They're pussies. So that's what Cody is.
I'm just saying the guy would never do that to my face and would never talk trash, but he was like trying to insinuate and say, yeah, we're working for you, boss, and like saying all these rude things to me. Well, first off, you call me boss. I've been called boss for 20 fucking years. That does not offend me. I take high respect into that. I've worked my ass off to get to boss level. You don't just show up here August 1st because you're not scared anymore to be in the game. There's so much to learn. You can't just jump on this. Go ahead and start your grow and let's see how it turns out. But speaking of that, I want to do my own grow site so I could do my own grow page and people can say, oh, well, what do I do next? How would I go about cloning this? Okay, well, come check out my 30-second how the fuck you clone. Fuck everyone else. I'm throwing out my seeds for $50 for a 10-pack. Everyone else charging $100+.
That's what I'm saying. It is like, you haven't been on the internet long enough to even get scummy about it. Like, you're not, you could monetize all that if you wanted to, but you're just doing it because you're like, you're for the fucking game. You're not for the fucking money, dude. Like, fuck the money, really, at the end of the day. Like, are you really trying to fucking turn people onto this shit because you're trying to be a fucking multimillionaire from it? Or are you trying to turn people onto it because you care about it?
Well, I wouldn't mind.
That's why
you're
so good.
Both would be great.
But that's what I'm saying is you're doing it for the love of the game. You're not doing it.
I want to make sure my people are safe. Exactly. When my people are buying product, I've had stories out there come to me that, oh, I get a better deal on Shatter, and then they show up and fucking they said they bought a cheese curd. Okay, cool. Good deal. $30 on your cheese curd. Ballin'. Like that. What the fuck, dude? Like, you have to know who you buy from. So there's everyone plays in the front, out the back. It's only going to get worse. There's going to be all these part-timers that... What happens is people are not in the weed game. They're in the meth game, the cocaine, the fucking I'm a drug guy game. And then they come into the weed game and they rip us off. They rip off the weed people. They fucking will take a live rosin disposable cart and they'll fill it with fucking junk and then fucking sell it to you for $10. Of course you could sell it that fucking cheap because it's just... quality shit, dude, you pay, you know?
What I was trying to say is like that those are the dudes who are the money game. You're not truly like... At the end of the day, you're really not in this for the money. You're in this for a fucking quality product. You actually care about the shit that you're putting out. It's not like someone who's just in there to make a fucking quick buck and get out.
I use my product.
You want to do it. Exactly.
I don't want to be fucking poisoned have freaking pesticides or have molds or have shit in my product. I want to make sure my shit's pure, CO2, closed loop extraction, vacuum purge, vacuum ovens, whatever. Everything's all... You know what I'm saying?
I think it's safe to say... Yeah. See, I look at Elon as a guy that's trying to be there for the people. He's trying to save humanity.
Same.
I think you're the Elon of the weed game.
There you go.
You're for the people, baby. You just want the people to have good product.
So how do I email that guy? Elon, what's up, dude? Let's collaborate on a Tesla like volcano built in or something. Wait, that might go against some of the laws, though. Probably. Only in camp mode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dude, let's rewind here. Let's go to the start of everything. If, let's say, if your life is a kitchen, who's the chef that's putting this together? Like, what are some of your motivations in life? Like, how do you keep going and keep pushing to the next thing and keep innovating whatever you're working on?
Right now, it's mainly for my family. Don't get me wrong. I take care of everything for my family. I wake up for the kids, go to sleep for the kids. But it's all about two clients. I want to make sure that your kids are good and you're safe and that I'm not getting the phone call. Like, I've had people tell me they've had fentanyl on their carts and fentanyl in their weed. Who the fuck brings that shit in the weed game? Keep that, you know what I'm saying? Mm. You put fentanyl sprinkled on your weed, that doesn't mean your weed's fucking good. You know, like, come on. Like,
yeah.
It was so good, I slept for 3 days.
Well, or overdose or have an issue. Right. I just lost my cousin to a fentanyl or heroin or overdose. But you know what I'm saying?
I just recently lost a friend to a fentanyl overdose
It's a bad deal, dude. And
it is.
That shit shouldn't be going around.
Almost everyone has at this point. I think it's a full-blown fucking epidemic at this point. It's a real fucking thing. Fuck yeah, they do.
By handing out free treasure hunts.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Get out there.
Changing the world one scavenger hunt at a time.
Well, and marijuana is known, too, to help you fight the addiction of opiates. And it's so, you know, for myself, opiates affect me differently than other people because I have red hair and blue eyes, and that's the rarest minority on the planet. And it just something about, we talked about in the other podcast, too, it's just different things like that affect me differently than it would affect a different person. So I could overdose a whole lot easier than someone else could overdose.
Right.
So if I'm buying my product, I trust my sources that I buy my product from. Otherwise, I wouldn't buy them from them or grow the products myself, and then I don't have to worry about that. But just it's all about being safe. I don't want to see anybody getting meth fucking weed or a meth cart or fuck that shit.
Yeah,
people
are strange.
Mixing wax with different drugs like that. Why do we want our THC mixed with that? I get it. Do it at your own house. If you're a drug addict, that's fine. But don't bring that shit on the street.
But that's, I think the craziest part about it is the reason that people do that is to get them hooked on your product, right?
Oh, no.
The idea is like, they're not going to do enough to fucking overdose. They're going to get hooked on my shit. Where if it's your shit, it's just good to start with. And you don't need to get someone hooked on it by shoving a drug in there. You just need to get them hooked on it because it's
quality.
Fucking good.
Yeah,
and they fucking like it.
Yeah, I guess I've always thought of it from the standpoint of like, wow, your stuff was just really strong, so I'm going to just keep buying from you. But that's a really good
point.
But that's
the same thing. Like, that's the same thing. Oh, it's really strong. Wired. I want that again.
Yeah.
Right? It's that's what I mean, that's like opiates are by far deal. Way more addictive than anything. I mean, like, disgustingly addictive. That's why all these fucking 80-year-olds who take a pain med after their surgery are fucking addicted to them. That's why people stick it in shit. I swear to God, that's why. That's the only way I've ever been able to rationalize it, is because now people are legitimately hooked to your product, not because it's a good product, because it fucks them up worse than anything they've ever had.
Yeah, be like, yeah I smoked some of your weed and
they
I
don't even
grinded
know,
my teeth for 3 hours.
They don't even know why they're fucking addicted to it. It's the problem.
That's a good point.
Until you overdose,
until
and then you're all of a sudden your family thinks you're a heroin addict.
Yeah, that's actually
exactly.
a really good
it's
point.
Crazy.
Al, do you read books? Do you
if
just
I had time,
consume...
I keep being told to have the book be read to me in like a whatever
audio
yeah, something like that, and I'm like, I don't even have time to do that. I literally have a text come in or a phone call come in, beep beep beep. Like,
yeah, but, well, how do you get new information? How do you learn about new laws? How do you keep up to date on that kind of stuff?
On my iPad, I watch almost every state's like app, so news app. So this state's going legal. This law got passed, and before that, I would watch all the marijuana laws on Normal, so normal.com or whatever. And you go on that, and it would show you what states. So pretty much, I would know, well, what state can I go to grow, and I can grow 2,000 pounds and only get a felony punishable by 3 years maximum. You know?
Oh my God.
Arizona, New Mexico.
Just weighing up the pros and cons real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah. That's fucking awesome.
It's actually crazy. He believes in it so much, he's using it right now.
Hey, I very rarely use these, but in our location, everyone's got a vape out. I figured I would try one. This is my live rosin.
I was going to ask you if I'm killing you with the
I got
vape.
One of those in my drop, and it's fucking fantastic.
Dude, this is my favorite one. This is the Pink Gushers. It has such a good flavor, but it's like pink lemonade and gusher mix. Mmm, yum. Full spectrum terps. Gotta love it. Gotta know who you buy from, though, because these live rosin disposables, they could be bought empty by anyone and filled with any junk. So you have to know who you buy from. But
yeah, when I was in college, it's when not even disposables, just the twist-on carts became very popular around 2018, 2019. And what people were doing was buying empty cartridges and putting, I think it was vitamin B in it.
Yeah.
It has a very similar tint to like a dab cart. Mm-hmm. And that's where like popcorn lungs started to become a thing, is off this vitamin D carts, because it was fucking people's lungs up, dude. People were dropping lungs. It was fucking crazy.
Oh my God.
So yeah, you put in poison.
I stayed away from carts for
dude, that's
a very
the,
long time.
That's the problem is, dude, that's what makes the drug industry look so fucking bad. Or the weed industry, not the drug industry. I'm not promoting fucking drugs, but that's what makes the weed industry look so bad, is there's so many cases of someone who's there to just fucking make money and fucking destroy the reputation of guys who are actually trying to do shit right. It's
absolutely
fucking disgusting, dude. It drives me crazy.
Just like I was explaining to one of my good buddies that's been helping me do a lot of treasure hunts in the cities, but my live rosin disposable, anyone can order that from China. They can fill that with whatever the fuck they want. So what I'll get is people saying, I've had those before and those weren't good. Well, you haven't had them for me because they are good, you know? But so I'm making these custom. So these are going to say Deca-Al's live rosin disposable, 1 gram. It's going to be all custom, but it's like, shit takes time, takes money. It's hard to work with China while you're trying to go to bed. They're like the opposite time.
Yeah, yeah. Explain that to us. So you say you're doing a lot of work with China on the manufacturing side as far as like your packaging and some of your cartridges and whatnot. What is that process like? Do you reach out to them and be like, hey, I'm looking for 1,000 of these pens or 10,000 of these pens? Like, how does this whole process work?
For me, it worked out, well, which ones do I want to try and how can I fill which ones with the setup that I have? So then I picked out the ones I liked, and then they sent you like a test batch for like 200. Okay, cool. Shot them. Everyone liked them. But I wanted something with nice packaging for a nice box and all that. So I bought this other setup. But Cece is actually the one that helps me do all of the overseas stuff. So she likes all my products. She supports all my products. She's out there commenting on my stuff. She comes and works my booth when we did the show. And I got the Hay Days coming up that wants me to do it. And nice. A couple other Hell events yeah. that we're trying to set up. So I'll have... Anyway, so Cece's out there helping me do all the China stuff. So she is up doing the late night dealing with China's rudeness. But they're
very direct.
They get a lot of breaks, man. Go somewhere else. This country really has enslaved us. And if I could get that out any more clearly, I don't know. Come take a hit to that one, you know? Like
fucking right. Take a hit for Al.
Well, you so pay your taxes, right?
Yeah,
so everyone pays their, you know.
Just as my best friend Sam one time said. Not to get political, but here we fucking go. it just gets me going. I love hearing it.
So you're getting email responses from these guys at 2-3 in the morning.
Yep, she'll get all kinds of shit all constantly. So then they'll design something and then we'll say, okay, well, tweak it like this or tweak it like that. Or I like palm trees. I don't give a fuck. I'm in Minnesota. I'm manifesting my future. I like palm trees. I'd like to be outside of Las Vegas or somewhere cool, you know, not... Minnesota's pretty boring, but I don't want to leave you guys stranded. We want to start.
Thank you.
Good Keep the boys buzzing.
Dude, I've been up here fighting for Minnesota for so long. They would have left us with just black swag for years and years and years if it wasn't for me. You know?
How much weed in your lifetime do you think you've consumed and sold?
Consumed and sold.
Start with
that's
consumed.
A tough one. Yeah, consume probably 20, 30 pounds easy. But, you know, now since I started vaping, I've only vaped 4 pounds, 5 pounds in the last 8 years or 9 years because I use so little.
Only. That seems like I'm just picturing 4 pounds, 5 pounds in front of me. I'm like, damn.
Just picture 30 pounds on the desk.
We could have brought some in for you. You wanted to picture it.
Fill it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, that would have made for some that awesome pictures sweet. Of us just stacked up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've been around it a lot. What's the, like...
One of the guys stuck like a me massive. On a 105 pack and expected me to pay for it. You know?
What's the
some people out here are shady. It's like, dude, you do a front and your shit sucks. You should always. I have the option to send it back. You know,
if this is Damn. Outside of statute limitations, let me know. But what's like the most amount of weed you've ever seen, like packaged and just ready, like in one spot? Most weed, like
Schwag or Nug,
both.
Nug easy 900,000 pounds.
That's what's 1,000 pounds of weed look like?
It takes up a good majority of a house downstairs level.
Say if we were going to stack it perfectly in this room, would it fit in this room?
No.
Holy fuck!
Not Nug. You'd be filling up this room. You wouldn't be able to walk in. You'd be throwing them up in the pile, collapsing. You'd have a fucking mess.
A little Schwag.
Schwag. Even Schwag, dude. You'd have a hard time doing 1,000 pack in here because it just bundles out everywhere. But Schwag, I've seen semis full coming into the U.S. Semis are 53 feet long.
Yep.
We'd only take one pallet. And the Mexicans would always tell me, Boston, buddy, Boston does this in 7 days. What takes you so long? 21 days for one pallet, around 700 to 1,000 pounds is good, I thought. I'm fucking Isani County. You know what I'm saying? Like
Jesus.
Minnesota in general isn't that big. You go to Boston greater area, it was like 4 million people at the time. Who knows what the fuck it is now? I'm not in the Schwag game anymore. It was a dinosaur. So like even I seen online dude saying, I haven't saw Schwag since 2010 to 2013 or something. And I mentioned to someone, I'm like, you know what? I stopped selling Schwag around 2012 at the end, so that's an interesting comment.
So what's the difference? Shit. How can you tell by looking at
it? Oh, yeah, brother. It's smashed, pressed. They got seeds and everything. Like, that was one thing I'd always
that's
the
like
Mexicans.
what you see in like drug bust photos is always like the Schwag compacted brick ass piece of shit weed, right?
Yeah, okay. Yep. And see, I'd always have the Mexicans, they'd come into my grows for indoors back in the day. You're talking like 08, 09, where products $5,000 a pound, 400 to 500 ounce, and people are like, you're the man, dude, this shit's amazing, train wreck. And like, yeah, whatever. You know, I've killed so many strains, people have heard of them, so whatever. But they'd say, could you do this for us down in Mexico? And I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, outdoor, are you kidding me? It's like how they would grow is under these black canopies, and then they would let their males grow and shit. So I'm just like, even if you take my knowledge down there and you fucking kill the male plant as it's producing pollen, you're going to have 20 times better product. The THC plant produces, or sorry, the marijuana plant produces THC. Do you know why?
No.
No.
Yeah. These are the things I like to discuss.
Yeah, fill us in. I would love to learn us a little something.
I want to do my little weed page so I have things for like growing weed and shit. But okay, so the marijuana plant will start producing its THC crystals to collect pollen. Once that plant has collected pollen from somewhere, its job is done. It stops producing the THC crystals. The bud will still form. It'll still look good. But you've got pollen. So it's just, you're not going to get your 20, 30%. You know what I'm saying? To longevity of the plant, it'll collect pollen, it'll produce a seed, it dies out in nature, seed drops, and then it reproduces. There isn't guys out there cloning it time way back, you
this,
know?
This might be stupid as fuck, and just tell me if I'm stupid as fuck.
You're stupid.
Do you need bees for a weed grow operation to spread the pollen?
No, because they're normally close enough, and technically for a weed grow, anyone that wants good product don't want seeds. The reason I would run seeds every now and then is for genetics. You have the cops come and bust you. Well, fuck you. You take everything I got, but I have 9 seeds of Sour Diesel still. That was the best sisters I ever had. So, you know, and then I know I make feminized seeds, so I know how, and there's lots of different techniques, but I'll use either a light technique or an actual physical technique of harming the plant in a certain way, or adding a little bit of extra light to a plant. So
are you saying
it herms out and creates pollen?
Cutting off certain stems that are going to make the plant produce better. Like, I know gardeners do that, right?
That's like lollipopping. You like clean off the bottom of the plant and shit. Okay. But I'm talking more like for me to produce a feminized seed. So then you would stress out that female plant, and by stressing her out, whichever way you choose, it produces the pollen. And then you take that pollen and shake it on your next batch
this
or
shit
your
is
batch
so
that's
scientific,
there.
Dude. I'm.
Well, that's really rudimentary on how to do crossbreeding and cloning, and or not cloning, but keeping your genetics alive in seed form. Because that's really, if the world collapses, and I'm all about survivalist and stockpiling things in case Armageddon comes, which I think is going to come from a solar flare from the sun, because we're into the solar activity of the sun's highest right now.
Heard that.
And it's starting to act up. The Carrington effect, or Carrington, you know, that's a real real thing, and it really did shut down. Our kids and this generation would be like, what? The internet's out. What? Now what? Like, get out there, start making food. It's gonna be out for 3 fucking years. Or
you're just getting on it in time for it to go out.
There's lots of information that's being lost at like you said, reading books. Sometimes it's about word of mouth. Some of these tribes have never written a fucking book in their life, and they still pass this on somehow. And it's important that we do that. We've stopped doing that as a culture. It isn't passed on anymore, and that's super evident when people try to get into marijuana. Well, what do I do? I got these seeds. What do I do? Like, you lick them until they sprout. No, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I get what you're saying, because it's true across the board. Like, if I have a problem, with my car that I think I can fix, I'm going to fucking YouTube.
Yeah.
I didn't learn that. No one passed it down to me.
Yeah.
But the best fucking mechanic you'll ever meet in your life is some 80-year-old dude who just learned by doing it.
His hands have been broken so many times. Oh, you're
fucking right.
Now you want to use a wrench like this.
you're the old mechanic, dude, and I love it. It's my fit, dude. I love it so much.
It's time for a bathroom break. The boys will be right back.
I really just wanted to get into some story time, because that's what the viewers, they're going to see your name. They're going to be like, oh, that's the guy with the craziest story I've ever heard in my life. And we kind of dipped into a little bit. We talked about how when you got back to your car, you got the phone going, you found out your dad's locked up. You met up in Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
You met up in Wyoming. You're beat to fuck. Your arm's fucked up. You have to drive because the person that picked him up has to nap for work.
Yeah.
So I just want... I want to pick up, because I really want this to just be a series where we at least do a little chunk of your life throughout it.
We'll catch up eventually.
So, hey guys, you just got in the car. You're catching up with your dad. You explain to him what happened. Take us from there.
You're driving the manual with a broken arm. Oh, yeah. That's where we're at.
Your chihuahuas are fucking barking in the back.
Well, it got good gas mileage, supposedly, you know, and then Dieselgate, whatever happened there. But so we made it back, and then... had to just see what was going on. I was afraid to go to any of my properties. I would drive by and be like, oh, my properties are fine. Well, I'll go there once a month and check them or whatever. But I was afraid to be anywhere. So I kind of just went into hiding. I was shell-shocked.
Back in Minnesota, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. But I was like shell-shocked. You got to understand, you're broke and you had all that shit happen to you. And then you're sitting there and literally like eating pickles to survive. And just like, I didn't want to go anywhere.
Did you ever go to the hospital?
No, never. No, my arm, I just let it go. But
oh my God.
I'd still get out. I'd still meet my clients, but I wouldn't ever meet them at a property. I'd always meet them like on the roads or whatever. Here's your packs, get my money, and still did all my work despite being broken and everything else. But now people are wondering, well, why are you in Mini? Why you came back now? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just back for a little bit. Here the fuck I am. But it went legal. I had to sit here and stand up, you know, and represent for what I've been fighting for all these years. So now it's legal in Minnesota. We wanted to get out. So get our branded shit so everyone can know Deca Al. It's good product. You've tried it. Everyone's tried it. We'll have to get him some HHC.
So you get back to Minnesota. What is your first move to get back on your feet? How'd you get used to your life in Minnesota again?
Well, I didn't want to touch any of my vehicles. First thing, I was losing sleep because all the stuff that was still left in the property. So I know the cops raided it and lots of shit was gone. Bobcat, side-by-side, vehicles, whatever. So I had my dad go and fly back after we got back to Minnesota. And then he flew back to California and then grabbed some of my stuff. Got the vehicle, got a rental U-Haul, hauled back one vehicle. But my dad's fucking ass comes back with the vehicle empty. He could have put $50,000 of grow equipment in the back, different flood and drain systems, different freaking ebb and flow tubes, setups for hydroponics, and all kinds of shit he could have grabbed. Didn't grab nothing. And it's brand new in the box from the store, and it was sitting at my property still. And so that went to whoever ended up robbing the property. So I got raided on robbed. So my dad went out, and then the next week my dad went out again and came back with more stuff. And then he's like, well, I'll go get it on the third trip. Well, by then my cash flow is drained. He had found the money that was left at the house to be able to make this happen, to get everything figured out. So it's just, you know, you can only pay so many trips to go U-Haul back and just fucking play any shit. So by the time it was all said and done, my dad could have went and got nothing for me, and I would have probably broke even from paying all this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I did get one of my beds, and the one thing that he got for me that was most important was my treasure. So I would always have gold and silver, and precious metals, thousands of precious metal ounces, and I buried it into pure granite in the mountain. So it was like up to my neck, and I'm chiseling granite. And the people I had living with me like couldn't even really see me because it's just my neck. So it's like 100 degrees up on the mountain, but where I'm at, it's like 55, 60 degrees. And I'm in granite. And then I buried it in a cooler and in epoxy, and then put it in the ground and epoxy that, and then hid everything so you'd never know. And then I made my dad a treasure map.
Damn, yeah. No fucking way.
This is fucking what? Awesome, yeah. Dude.
And then somehow in between, I told my dad, as soon as you get the treasure up, because I hired like three guys from Craigslist that were all like, oh, hire me $25 an hour to help you move. So I hired their hire company, three guys to go up to the mountain with me. And once you get in the mountain, there's no signal. So I don't know if they're going to like kill my dad, murder mountain fucking type of shit because of what's going on, the amount of money. So I think those guys actually came and robbed me for the second robbery because we paid them to come and help with the first robbery and they seen what was left. Anyway, dude, it's
holy
just
fuck.
Stabs on stabs on stabs. Yeah, I can't get up from the first one. So I'm hiding in Minnesota and my dad's revealing all this shit that's happening on the mountain. So we finally get shit figured out.
So I got to know, they found your precious metals?
No. You're saying you hired these dudes off Craigslist to help your dad move the shit.
Move my shit while my dad looks for the treasure. Yeah, so I told my dad, don't ever let the treasure out of your sight. Well, my dad did exactly like I said he not to fucking do. And in between California, my house, I lost 300 ounces of precious metal. So you go fucking hit the calculator with that fucking shit. That fucking hurts. So you don't know if it's your dad stole from you or these random motherfuckers stole from you.
What's
or what
300
happened.
Ounces of gold worth? Then.
Well, gold is 600,000 or 680,000.
Fuck around.
something. But silver was the actual metal that was stolen by 300 ounces. But that's still, you know, a good chunk of money at the time.
Fucking A.
It's not, you know, I've been collecting for a very long time. So to me, this bar of silver means a lot more than to some thief that stole it. You go into the pawn shop, they're going to offer you $1,700, but it's worth, you know, $2,800, you know. So, or, you know, you're getting way less for it. Like, I think I brought in 3,000 ounces one time and they gave me $300. I'm like, no, I was talking 3,000 just so I could go purchase this bike and this and that. And they offered me $300 in like pawn shop. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Give me my shit back, you know? But anyway, later when he had got that load back from California, I had a hybrid vehicle and I noticed granite tear in the seat. I go, well, why is granite torn in the seat? And that's where I had, you know, I dug the hole and put the treasure. So granite was stuck at the bottom of the treasure. So when they picked it up, it was so heavy, the cooler scratched the seat with a piece of granite on there. And then I found a piece of silver dime. And my dad's wife was said, oh, no, the silver dime I got in the drive-thru in McDonald's. And there's no McDonald's litter. Because she was driving my vehicle because it came back with a full tank. And then when it got towed from California back to Minnesota, the full tank was completely on empty and the light was on and I found that silver dime. So that's when I started checking into my treasure, what happened. They had just got back. Someone broke a hole in the side, stole all that out. So it's like to sleep at night to know did your dad rob you or not is a horrible feeling. You know what I'm saying?
That's got to fuck some person.
Yeah, but you still, you know, it's your dad. But it's like, who the fuck kind of, who steals from their fucking kid?
Money
you brought
does
me
fucking
here.
Weird. Crazy shit to people. I
but it doesn't
saying.
Do crazy shit to me because I've had backpacks full of money and it's not my fucking money. If someone, make this super clear, if someone comes and they donate $1,000 to me, that $1,000 doesn't go in my pocket. It goes here, there, and there and pays on fucking eight other people to make everything happen. $100 go in my pocket.
That's what it's like, dude. It's, you know, so crazy. Like, being a millionaire by yourself would be so easy, but being a multimillionaire with 10 people, I mean, there's people get so fucking weird with money, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. Keep going. I don't want
to
fucking
teamwork makes the dream work when it comes down to it. You have to find good, reliable people, and it might not always be your dad or whatever the scenario is, your meth head cousin or whatever, you know, like,
so did you ever find out if it was your dad or you don't know to this day?
Still don't know this day. I kind of just every now and then I wake up in the morning and have the thought go through, I'm just like, fuck my life. But, you know, amongst all the other tidal waves of money that I see going by missing in my head, that I missed opportunities and shit that has been taken from me, that's, you know, they want to make it right with disparity or however they try to make the marijuana game right again. Man, they got to start with people like me that have earned the right to get their cultivation license and earned to have their processing license. And I'm out here selling just marijuana or donating, you know, just marijuana and good products. Nothing's tainted. Nothing's, when the cart scare came around, all my shit's still pure, but everyone dropped off. The cart game died. Yeah. And then the cart banned, so you couldn't even get the cart device itself. But now Trump instated that disposables are the only thing that aren't banned. So like, I was reading a article and I was talking about from like 1700 disposables out there to like 30,000 now or something. So they made a whole bunch of different, like me, custom ones. Good. Thanks, Trump. Yeah. You know, we need, if
fucking
not that I want to talk politics, but that guy would come back and run this as a company it should be ran, not as a fucking welfare, sit on your fucking ass. No, you get the fuck up, you go the fuck to work, and you pay your fucking shit. Anything above that, cool, awesome. But if you're expecting a free ride through life, expect that ride to suck ass.
It fucking should.
I want to keep us on track here. So
this is the first time getting robbed.
You send your dad on the treasure hunt. He acquires the treasure, but along the way it gets stolen. It may or may not have been him.
So then I still got to send him back on a following trip. So that was actually the second trip then, I think. And then the third one, I told him I couldn't go because he's like, I'll grab it on the next trip. And it's like, well, what fucking next trip? I don't have the money. Well, here, I just grabbed what I could, consolidated, put it at one of my properties, and then I'd watch the property, make sure nothing happened, made my sales to clients, tried to make up money to people that I owed money to, or do anything that I could, pull in anything that people owed me, but just try to come back. I mean, imagine an F5 tornado collapsing you, and you got nothing in your state or your town anymore. and then you're trying to restart, you know, it's not easy. So yeah, you build back up, you heal up. And after 6 or 7 months, I'd go to the store and I'd go to my house and I'd go shopping, but I wouldn't go shopping. I had a Walmart half a mile from my house. I wouldn't go to that Walmart because my PTSD is so bad and all the other fucking problems that they've given me throughout the years. Now I would go drive 40 minutes one way to go to that Walmart.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to get fucking PID'd 2 minutes from your house.
And no one knows me at that Walmart possibly, or you know what I'm saying? It would be a lesson of a chance versus go to one where people would expect me to be half.
So you're walking around a scared man for a long time. Thinking, I could be picked up at any moment. Like, I don't trust anybody.
Yeah, I didn't want to deal with any of that. And eventually, you just got to come out. You know, I'm not ashamed of anything marijuana I've ever done. I'll stand behind it. When you're talking about how much of this and how much of that, yeah, statutes of limitations have ran up by so fucking far. What the fuck are you going to do? Fucking conspiracy? Just fucking drop it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, a semi, you're talking 26 fucking pallets. You're talking 700 to 900 pounds per pallet, you know, half a fucking ton. So you're talking 11.75 ton. Now you're talking Boston going through 10 fucking ton and them laughing at me because I can hardly move half a ton.
Just getting laughed at by the cartel.
I can hardly move half a ton is the craziest shit ever.
You have to look at it in perspective, though.
But I'm saying, like, the fucking levels, like, the, dude, 99.999% of people, you give them a half a ton of weed, they don't have no fucking idea what to do with it.
But it didn't start like that.
No fucking
I'm gonna say
clue.
It's probably higher than 99.9.
That's what, no, I said 9999. There's like
you keep the decimal going.
A very very minuscule amount of people. You give them fucking 1,000 pounds of weed. What the fuck am I going to do with that, dude?
Boys, get the lungs ready.
Oh, I'd have some ideas, brother.
Be a fight in a little kiddie pool.
So you're walking around scared every day that something's going to happen, you're going to get picked up, but you finally start getting more comfortable. What was your first big move to, like, get back on your feet money-wise?
Reestablish different vehicles, get vehicles transferred from California plates with one plate on them and broken windows and shit like that to now, because when I was in the mountain, they smashed out the window to steal the fucking battery too. So it's like, oh my God, crazy shit. But anyway, I just try to literally rebuild from scratch. So
that's insane.
It's not easy.
That mentality switch from like going on edge 24/7 to like, feeling okay.
I'm still on edge.
I was going to say,
I'm definitely
an on edge guy as it is, but I couldn't imagine after that all going down.
Yeah, lots of people would say, you know, you got to get over it. You got to do this, got to do that. How the fuck do you get over shit like that? Make your money back, but you still have those memories. You wake up in the morning and you see, like, this is brick, so that's, or, you know, that's okay. But when you wake up in the morning and see block, like, that's like the worst nightmare you could ever have. Cinder and blocks, I did that for over 3 years as a juvenile for crimes I never fucking committed. So it's like, talk about having something wrong in your head. You wake up and you're this close and you see concrete block. You go right to fight mode, you know? It's, okay, who the fuck's pissing me off today, you know?
So this is a... So I watch Trailer Park Boys. I don't know if you guys ever seen fucking Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
I watched Trailer Park Boys probably 6 times all the way through. Ricky, he's out of jail. He's back to fucking square one, and he's restarting, and it's always faster every time.
Hash.
So how much faster? I mean, the second time, you're basically starting over. You're starting absolutely from scratch, like you said. How much easier is it for you to start from scratch than it was from the original, this is what I'm going to do? The second time over, how much faster can things happen? I mean, not even with connects, but with just knowledge that you have.
I've been hit by an F5 tornado more times than I have fingers and toes and I can count. And that's totally wrong. But when you try to reestablish, they take your cell phones, they take your iPads, they take everything. You walk away. You don't have client anymore. You don't have plug anymore. Isani County specifically put in the newspaper that I was working as an informant. That shit could get me fucking killed.
What?
Yeah. Fucking, that's crazy.
That was pre
before I worked with the actual Skins Day, and more of when I was just buying a pound here or there to make my moves. To survive, more or less. Then eventually, one of the mechanic friends of mine, one of the mechanic friends of mine got a dude that was in his shop, and he said, "Oh, you Mota," and he didn't speak a whole lot of English, but got through that he smoked weed, and dude gave him a ride home, so he saw the joint in his ashtray. So he gave dude, not a, like me, like I would, like a treasure hunt. He gave dude over a quarter pound of swag, really bright green, badass swag that's like unfucking heard of at the time. And I would call them banana bricks at the time. And they're so fluffy. It's like what you would expect of Nug right now, just vacuum sealed really good. Really good product for Mexico. Really good product. And the dude gave him a QP for free. And he goes, "See if you can pretty much sell this, you know?" And then the mechanic guy was one of my guys that I would buy one from, or a five pack, or, you know, just small timing it, you know, 2003, 2004, just like literally starting to go. And then he introduced me to them, and I worked underneath those skins for like 2 years, and they kept on asking, "Well, I want to meet Al. I want to meet Al. I want to meet Al." Because every single time there was a thing saying, "Well, your money is going to be here next week. Let me call Al. Let me call Al." Like, man, just call me dude, man. Now these motherfuckers want to meet me. So eventually I went and meet them, and I went from 5-pack, 10-pack, instantly 112 pack, 114 pack.
He was, that's fucking, quite the jump.
Yeah, fuck around. Yeah.
But he asked me if I could move it, and I told him yes. And I told him that I stand behind that, I think I can move it. And they explained to you, you have 21 days. If you don't get it gone in 21 days and you can't cover it, there's going to be a fucking problem. We don't want a fucking problem.
So, oh my God.
And what's the pressure like on that? Like, if some, you know, because this is, I'm assuming like Mexican cartel is saying you're going to have a problem. Well, from what everyone else knows, problem with the Mexican cartel is the last motherfucking problem you want to have. The only person who I'd less rather have a problem with than the Mexican cartel is the American government. Those are the those are the two things that I'm afraid of the most, of people saying, "I'm fucking coming after you." American government, number one. Mexican cartel, number two. And it's not even fucking close.
Yeah.
I'm scared shitless of both of them wanting my ass.
They're pretty good. Just don't piss them off. You're okay. You know what I'm saying? But
that's what I'm saying, though, is like, well, how is the pressure feel of them saying 21 days and you're on day 19? Like, fuck.
Oh, no. I'm on day 12. I'm gone and out, and I'm asking them for more, and they're saying it's going to be another 2 weeks.
Yes, that was the best answer I've ever heard.
Yeah. It wasn't until I started having the semis come, and he goes, "Look, you have to have at least 50,000 every time the driver comes. Fuck everything else." Everything was on front. If someone's saying to you, "Here's 10 million beers, I'm giving it to you for 15 cents a beer," and you know that fucking beer is worth $1 a beer, would you not fucking try to make a move? Who else is going to loan you $500,000, and you're just out of being homeless? Yeah, but you're trustworthy, you know?
Yeah, you on your level, they're putting the utmost amount of trust in you, you know? So it's
like, would always check where you live. Like, literally, before the semis ever started coming, they would come to the property. They would check the property. I had a buddy that was starting a car lot, so we'd buy like used cars and shit. And they would drive my Mercedes or drive the BMW, and they'd follow me to all my spots. They randomly showed up with 200 pounds and said, "Okay, you got 3 days, see what you can do." It was all gone in 2 days. I had one of my KB Supply Co. helped me a lot with stuff back in the day. So it's like, shit was really a genuine partnership versus...
And what does that look like? Does that look like you having like a million connects, or you have someone else who can say, "Hey, I can take half of this shit right now"?
Yep. He would be a 200 to 300. But at back in the day, people would wait for you for 2 weeks. You know, he was actually in the point in his life where he had to have job. Job.
Oh, that little thing.
Yeah.
That
yeah. Do. Yeah. But like, so like, just to, like, to put it in perspective, because in my brain, I'm thinking, you know, someone dumps me, say, 1,000 pounds.
That like, sounds crazy.
If you don't have the right connects, you like your buddy who fucking flips weed on the corner is like, "Yeah, I could take maybe a fucking pound from you."
No,
yeah, well, you're not fucking helping me, dude. You're not helping me at all, because I still have 999 to fucking move. Right. So you need a few guys, not a fucking huge network. You need a few guys who can say, "I can fucking take this."
Exactly. Right? There's only so many boss level guys. And if they weren't out there, you created them. So if you have that huge surplus, it's like anything. I drink Fiji water constantly. How many of these empty fucking Fiji bottles do you think I have? I have a lot of them. So I try to find ways to use them to make things. Little Chihuahua stairs to go up, or anything that you can think of to make it. Whatever, I wanted to make something that would float, a little, you know, feature for my water at another property, whatever. Anyway, reuse, recycle, you know, I'd put weed in it if it was more feasible. But so literally the only times I'd ever feel, oh, fuck, what do I do? I had one robbery go down, and if the piece of shit's watching, Jesse, I hate you. You're a scumbag. But anyway.
Fuck you.
Yeah, he does Jesse. Meth, and everyone fucking hates people that do meth. We don't want meth into you, the Jesse. Weed game. But
suck my
you
dick,
fucking
Jesse.
Fucking meth head.
Yeah. You fucking piece of so, shit. You're never getting a fucking interview on this podcast. Fuck.
So I'd show him. He kind of helped him buy a motorcycle because we'd all drive crotch rockets and shit and tried to be his buddy, you know, and so show him, you know, do different drops where I was at different properties. So he went and robbed multiple of my different people. It took different shit. And then I had a property that I was staying in with him that he robbed. So it was like in that week, I lost about $70,000.
Oh, my
and
God.
When the cartel says, hey, I want my money, they don't give a fuck he lost $70,000. They say, look, we go and kill Jesse or we go and get the money from you and your family. So where do you think, what the fuck do you think I did? Does it look like I quit?
Yeah, exactly.
That's I like, pay the fucking debt.
That's the fucking, that's the craziest
yeah,
fucking
yeah, I was
no
gonna say,
shit
so you
right
killed
there.
Jesse?
No. Jesse's still alive and he lives in the RV probably that he robbed from me that he used the money to get. And I hope that RV was heated and this was a good winter for you, dude.
That's the craziest shit, dude, is it's like, you know.
Scummy.
Say
scummy.
You get 1,000, the cartel says we need X amount of dollars. You so give 300 to this guy. That dude gets robbed for fucking 250 of his 300. He says, I don't got the cash to fucking cover you. You're fucking covering that. So it's like, until it gets to that point, you got to really like...
Oh, don't take
really,
it.
Really, you got to be fucking money smart, kind of. You got to like stack your pennies because you might have fucking... Say you have $100,000 fucking dollars, but two of your dudes get robbed. That $100,000 needs to go to the fucking cartel or the family's fucking dead.
Can you just call it's the cops and say you got robbed?
See, that's the craziest fucking part about it.
You don't like call the actually... cops, you go take care of it yourself. Me in particular in that situation, I made about $110,000. That $110,000 now was minus $70,000. I still made profit, but he's a fucking scumbag and he's out of the game. He doesn't have any more front or access, but it's like, now the Schwag game's completely changed. Everyone knows Schwag. It's everyone's into nugs. And
yeah, bunch of schwaggots.
a lot of pot snots. Yeah, lots of people like the flower game is so overplayed. I don't even care. I just try to. This is what I have to offer. You don't like it? That's cool. Plenty of people and their pet fucking monkey out in Wisconsin's got plugs for you. So I'm trying just to have, you know,
Pet Monkey out in Wisconsin sounds crazy. Get that guy on the pod now.
That was definitely
I
want specific.
To meet Pet Monkey, dude.
Hey, it's a real thing. I was going to get a monkey.
Oh, I could see that. Cruising around with
a monkey. Dude, imagine, two monkeys riding your two chihuahuas just fucking woo.
Let me just run you through a little scenario here and just what would you do here? Okay, you're sitting at a nice local cafe, right? Let's just say Mom's Parkside Cafe, just right down the street here. You see a white, brand new Model Y Tesla performance model pull up. A ginger guy wearing a Tesla beanie and a full Jordan get up gets out.
Always jade up.
With a goddamn monkey on his shoulder. Dude. And you're like, whoa.
Where the fuck am I right now,
this
bro?
This guy has lived a life.
Vegas. Normal. They look yeah. past it.
You're right.
It just depends on where you're at.
Vegas, right. They're like, oh, there's another fucking influencer, dude.
It's all perspective.
Pine City, you're like, where the fuck did this guy come from? Fucked.
Got to keep it real. Stay out there. Let people know.
This guy's the David Dobrik of the weed game.
Hell yeah.
I don't even know who that guy is, but I've been everywhere.
He's known for giving away Teslas. He's a big,
really?
Big YouTuber.
That's his big YouTube
what?
Thing.
I want to give away a Tesla. Elon, come on. Let's collaborate here.
Let's make something happen. Boom, bada, bang.
Yeah, treasure hunt. You show up. It's a fucking Tesla. Look, you guys
dude,
have to fight
crazy.
For it.
In the bottom of the bag, it's the key card.
Would that get more Tesla. Members? People would be like, shit, dude. What if it's a used Tesla? Because I'm looking for that X Plaid. So, you know, there's nothing wrong
damn.
With that performance. Why?
Oh, yeah,
I'm going to turn on the fucking notification to the Facebook page right now, dude.
It's actually going to be a 2018 long range Model 3 because then I'll buy the Model Y performance from you.
I see that. I like that. I'm glad you support Tesla, dude. It's literally you either got it in you or you don't. Lots of people are like don't really care about electric. That's cool, but it's what's happening, so I don't know.
The crazy
Tesla,
you know, I don't
solar.
Get it for the sustainability aspect. I understand there's pros
fast
and cons
and
when
fun.
It comes to that. It's a fun, hell fast yeah. car, and it's so cheap to own.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, realistically, it costs me the same dollar for dollar, for month by month, to drive this as it did my 2007 GMC Yukon. exactly the same amount of money to drive this goddamn car. It's and it's so much more fast, so much more fun.
I'm charging 13 cents a kilowatt, supercharging at 44 cents a kilowatt. So it's like when you compare that to gas, it's like quite a bit cheaper. So, and gas is cheap right now. I drive by, I see those numbers. I got a
you're
diesel
like,
too.
Fucking suckers.
Yeah, fuck that.
Dude, the craziest part about Tesla, say if we're going to get on a little Tesla kick here, is that Tesla's not even a fucking car company, dude.
No,
Tesla is a data company.
Literally.
Tesla records every piece of data of every single thing that happens in every single one of their fucking cars, and they're just getting smarter and smarter.
That's what I was gonna say.
Smarter.
My car's getting smarter. It doesn't take that corner
crazy,
the same.
Crazy.
Yeah, dude. It's a good example of this, and they're always changing shit. They just added this unlatch door feature from your phone.
Oh,
did you see this?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people complaining about when it gets super cold, your door handles will ice up and then it's really hard to open it. I actually experienced I ran through a car wash, didn't think of it.
Oh,
super cold, it froze, and I'm like, oh my God. So I just took like something and I like hit it on the door handle and I popped it open and it worked. But then literally the week after that, they made this unlatch door feature. So you go on your phone, hit it, boom, your door just like opens
up. Dude,
it's
like
the
poppers
inside.
On like, a, you ever see like an old slammed out fucking, like an Impala or something. Them dudes all got poppers on their key fob and they hit the button and the fucking door pops up for you. There's no handles on that motherfucker.
Right.
I got poppers on the El Camino.
Hell
Lambo door.
Fuck yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of poppers as like...
pills? Yeah.
The, no, like the gay party drug.
No,
it's really popular.
I'm not in on that one.
Overseas.
You're the only one who has any knowledge
it's
on
like
gay
this,
drug
this
parties,
stuff
dude.
That they shove up their ass. I don't really know how it works, but I know they're called poppers.
Yeah, you do. Come on.
I don't know how it works.
Interesting. Dude, let's do a poppers episode.
So that's immediately what I thought
All
of
the
when
boys
you just
take
said
poppers,
that.
Dude. First one to get a bone or lose it.
Hell yeah, dude. Love poppers.
Papa Sativa gummy. Oh, my God.
That'll be a party. Well, Al, dude, thank you for coming on again, man. I have a good feeling that we're going to get a lot more requests to have you on for a part 3.
I can't fucking wait, dude.
And,
we're doing 10 parts. I don't care. We'll,
10 parts
is going to be a
series,
dude. Fuck Yellowstone. You're going to get on tap every week.
I got all kinds of stuff to talk about, but like real shit. Like we've done all kinds of shit across the country too. So it's like, whatever. Yeah. I've been representing the marijuana game for a very long time. I ain't planning on going nowhere. I don't give a fuck if they drag me kicking and screaming. They're going to have to tase or shoot this guy.
Yeah, yeah, plug your stuff one more time before we go, just so everyone knows where to find you.
So I got Deca MN Treasure Hunts, and I got Deca MN for Menu. You check out everything. I got video of me making live rosin mixed with the terps, full spectrum terps, like best flavors, best taste. Making the pre-rolls, making the candies. I got everything on there. You got to trust your plug, know who you buy from. Get good quality product. If you're not getting it, come check us out. Deca MN. Deca MN, Treasure Hunts.
The motherfucking weed wizard himself, dude. Ooh. Deca fucking Al, baby.
We got more to come. Buy from the best in the
get
Midwest.
Get your ass on Facebook. We're going to get Al firing.
Add his pages and let him know that OnTap sent you there.
We're going to get Al firing on fucking Instagram. We're going to get Al firing on fucking X.
Yep.
This dude's blowing the fuck up.
Instagram, I already got that one on. I need to start learning, post my stuff, figure out some people. I got a chick doing like 11,000 viewers she has, and she's doing like a tester of showing all my products. So like shouts out to Josie. So hopefully she does
Hell
good.
Yeah. Hell yeah,
smoke
baby.
Up, smoke Hell out.
Yeah. No Schwaggets.
No Schwaggets around here. No Schwaggets on top.
I don't
baby.
Know if I'm in on that. Thanks for coming through.
Thanks, Al.
Keep it real, so and much. As always, stay lit, my friends.
Yeah.